Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome. It's so good to see so many of you here and faces we haven't seen for a while. Deb and I were traveling for a while, and Ping and Sue are back, and John and Joanna are here again, and Matt will be back with us soon, we hope. And it's just so good to see you all here today, and that we have Walter Willis from WCF will be speaking with us today, and Sam and Bethany will be leading us in music today. So thank you very much for joining us and helping us out with our service today. And I'm going to start off, I want to read from 1 Peter, and I'm going to read verses 3 through 11. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind. He has forgotten that he has been cleansed from these past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you are doing these things, you will never fail, and you will receive the rich welcome when you enter into the kingdom of our Lord and Jesus and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I just want to emphasize those words again, that we need to add to our faith. We're adding these to our faith if you don't ever have them. Goodness, self-control, perseverance, brotherly kindness, godliness, and love. And those are all things that we need as we work towards our new future. So please join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for bringing us here together in your church and helping us to worship. And thank you for bringing Walter and Sam and Bethany from WCF to help us, lead us in our services today. Be with them and help them to pass on their knowledge and wisdom about you to us, and help us all to leave here more richly rewarded and wiser about you, to pass those words on to others. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And I have a few announcements in addition to those that are in your bulletin, that Jay Kernan has agreed to be a candidate for elder. And so per our bylaws, we're going to announce it for the next 2 weeks. And then anyone who is objecting to Jay becoming an elder has that time period to present written objections to either Gary or myself. And then on the 23rd, after services, we're going to have a special meeting to elect our next elder. So I want to thank Pam and George and Rick and Gary for being on that elder search committee. And Jay, special thank you to you for listening to God when he whispered in your ear and said, Jay, go for it. Thank you. And then I also want to announce that we've formed our pastor search committee, and that consists of Kathy Kernan, Steve Brandt, Gisela Sutton, Gary Taylor, myself, and Jay will be joining us later. And we're going to meet briefly right after this service so that you can affirm us. Again, by our bylaws, the elders, you know, get together, the search committee, and the congregation has to affirm or elect the committee. So we'll do that right after service. For the month of March, Ed Neiswinder will be our speaker. You heard him before. He was here a couple of weeks ago, or for 2 weeks, I believe it was, and Gary had contacted him, and Ed has kindly offered to be our speaker for the month of March and potentially longer. And Eric Moyer will be here as our speaker on the 23rd of March. And Eric is, February. See, I'm just testing you. February 23rd, Eric Moyer will be here. And Eric is from this area. He's has a book that's out. He's in Texas now. He's friends of Pam and Tom Dara. And he's going to be up here. And he has a newsletter. And he put in his newsletter that he's going to be speaking here. So we may have additional people show up on the 23rd. So for that reason, and the fact that you might want to invite extra people, we're going to meet downstairs on the 23rd. Back downstairs on the 23rd. So, and then next Sunday, the 16th, we're having our potluck. And hopefully we'll get back into the swing of doing our monthly potlucks. And the first one is next Sunday on the 16th.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all today. It's good to be back here. What a blessing it is to gather together as the people of God. I heard somebody say once that there is no such thing as a normal Sunday. This is the time that the people of God, we can worship God and study Him and love Him throughout and worship Him throughout the week, but this is the time that we have set aside to gather together, and there's something special about that when the body of Christ gathers. So I need to move this away. Move it down a little bit. How's that? Is that better? Thank you so much. Let's pray, and then we'll dive in. Father, thank you that we can gather together, that we have the freedom to gather this morning. And I ask, Lord, that you would give us an expectancy in our hearts. Lord, that we would have an expectancy as we hear the word of the Lord this morning. I ask that you would change my heart, that you would change our hearts, and that we would see Christ, that we would see the gospel more clearly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, turn with me, if you could, to Deuteronomy chapter 31. And as Miles said, my name is Walter Willis. I'm one of the pastors at Windsor Christian Fellowship. We meet on the other side of town at the Windsor Charter Academy. So I serve as a worship pastor, and so I play a lot of music and sing. I was here singing a couple months ago, and then I also preach every once in a while. And Sam and Bethany also serve as helping us out on the worship team. If you haven't met my family yet, they're right over here. My beautiful wife, Rachel, and then my kiddos right here in front. I'm actually going to go through the names of my kiddos in just a bit here. Actually, we can do it right now. This sermon title is Courage Emmanuel. Courage Emmanuel. My son's looking at me. That's his name. Courage Emmanuel Willis. All of my children's names are what I like to call stones of remembrance. So they are very intentional to remind me and my wife of something that the Lord has taught us, of a character or attribute of the Lord. So we have Patience Gloriana, Liberty Hope, Clarity Heaven, and Courage Emmanuel. And so this topic is a very dear one to me. Deuteronomy 31, we're going to focus on verse 6, but I'm going to give us some context and start in verse 1. Then Moses went and spoke these words to all Israel. And he said to them, I am 120 years old today. I wish I could make a statement like that at some point, right? I can no longer go out and come in. Also, the Lord has said to me, you shall not cross over this Jordan. The Lord your God himself crosses over before you. He will destroy these nations from before you, and you shall dispossess them. Joshua himself crosses over before you, just as the Lord has said. And the Lord will do to them as he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites and their land, when he destroyed them. The Lord will give them over to you, that you may do to them according to every commandment which I have commanded you. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them. and you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. So here we are in the final chapters of Deuteronomy. The children of Israel are standing on the precipice of a new horizon. For 40 years, they've wandered in the wilderness. And now, finally, at last, they're at the very brink. They're at the gates of the Promised Land. Just across the Jordan River, there is the land that was promised to them, the land of Canaan, the land flowing with milk and honey, the place of bounty and fruitfulness. Israel sojourned in this land, but his children now stood ready to make it their home. Just picture the excitement, right? But there also stood Jericho, the mighty walled city. There was also Hebron, the mountain of giants, it says. And there was a host of other kingdoms and hostile armies and nations and kings, and they would not give up the land willingly. They would fight for every square inch. And what's more, they were likely better equipped, more in number, physically larger and stronger than the Israelites. Remember, 40 years earlier, the spies went out into the Promised Land, and what did they say? We are like grasshoppers in their sight. These were some hefty enemies. They had notched a couple of victories on the east side of Jordan, but victory in the west was by no means assured. And what was even more concerning to the Israelites is that their faithful leader for over a generation, Moses, is passing away. God had used Moses powerfully in delivering the people from slavery in Egypt, communicating God's law from Mount Sinai, pleading with God on their behalf. The Red Sea parted in two. When Moses held up his hands, victory was assured. Moses knew God and talked with God, not with visions and dreams, but as a friend speaks to a friend. And now Moses is going away. What was going to be their fate? Did Joshua have the right stuff? How in the world was Israel supposed to conquer all these hostile kingdoms? What will happen if the plan fails? This is the backdrop that Moses speaks this text, 31, verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. So we can look at that and say, well, we're not the Israelites on the bank of Jordan. Does this charge still apply to us as a New Testament believer, as followers of Christ? And I believe 100% it does. Are we not called to wage a good warfare? It says that in 1 Timothy 1. Are we not told that the weapons of our warfare are mighty? And further, are we not surrounded by enemies on every side that trespass the territory claimed by the Lord Jesus? See, we have enemies within, do we not? We have temptations that assail us. They are contrary to God. We have enemies without. Ephesians talks about principalities and powers and spiritual high places. How much more do we need this encouragement? To be strong and of good courage. So we're going to look at this, break it down to two parts, the commands and then the promise. And that's where the title of the message comes from, and that's where my son's name comes from, Courage Emmanuel, meaning God with us. The commands in this text are clear. Be strong and of good courage, or courageous. It's basically, there are four imperatives there. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. But in typical Hebrew poetry style, it's couplets. So be strong and of good courage would be one command. And then do not fear nor be afraid of them would be another command. So that's the first thing I want to observe to us this morning, is that be strong and of good courage is not a suggestion. It's a command. We could say it's a good idea to be strong. You know, don't be weak here. You know, strengthen up. Be ready. It's not a suggestion that Moses gives. It is a command. The words in the Hebrew, kazak and amatz, are active words. It is not used to describe the mere capacity for strength. Like we might say, the man with huge muscles is sitting in the park is strong. By the way, that's never going to be said about me. But let's say that there's a guy who's sitting in the park and he's got huge muscles. We might say that he's strong. That's not the sense of these words. He has the capacity for strength, right? Rather, it's the act of exerting strength itself. Whatever capacity for strength that is available is called upon, marshaled together, and directed towards a single purpose. So you could say, get ready, hold tight, get into position, exert every fiber of your being, grip the sword. It's not about how big your muscles are. It's about exerting what you have. Be strong. The second observation is that the command is not merely to be strong, but also courageous. One way of thinking of courage is strength of heart and mind. One definition says courage is bravery, the quality of mind which enables men to encounter danger and difficulties with firmness, without fear or depression of spirits, valor, boldness, resolution. Psalm 31, 23 and 24 says this, O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserves the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. This charge to be strong and of good courage is throughout all of the Bible. I don't know if you've ever done a study on that, but Moses says it to Joshua. Be strong and of good courage. God himself says it to Joshua just a few chapters later. God's speaking to Joshua now, and he says, be strong and of good courage. Joshua then takes that and he says it to the people of Israel. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear. Fast forward several more generations. We have King David. He's passing the kingdom to his son. And what does he say? Be strong and of good courage. And then we have the apostolic age. And what does the Apostle Paul say to the church? He says, be strong and courageous. In 1 Corinthians 6:13, he says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men, be strong. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. This is not to negate the reality of embracing weakness. I know that I am weak. And there is a lot of things I want to do that I'm not able to do. And whether it's sickness, whether it's just challenges that we encounter, we have to depend upon the Lord. We are weak. Spiritual strength is not about fleshly effort and bravado. But it does mean that we posture ourselves intentionally with manly vigor. By his grace and power, we face the enemy with boldness. So Moses says, be strong and of good courage. And I would say that is the Lord's charge to us as well. But he doesn't stop there. He says, do not fear nor be afraid of them. See, there's different kinds of fear. There's the fear of the Lord, This is the reverence, respect, and worship and fear that we have towards God, right? Proverbs says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? This is a good thing. We want to have the fear of the Lord. So this is not what he's saying when he says, do not fear, because that wouldn't be right, because he's supposed to say, no, you are supposed to fear God. God can't contradict himself. What other kinds of fear are there? There is a natural fear. This is a protective fear that is part of wisdom. You see, natural fear keeps us from letting our toddlers wander out into a busy street. It makes us carefully sip coffee to check the temperature. I made this mistake last week. I had some hot broth. I was really, really looking forward to it, and I just chugged it down. Ouch. I should have had a more healthy fear. Healthy fear is what prevents me from running around trying to carry a football, running around from a 300-pound freight train like some of us are going to be watching this afternoon. Those guys don't have enough natural fear, in my opinion. So that's also healthy, though. But what is he talking about? He's talking about a sinful fear. This is the fear which God has told us explicitly to not be afraid of. Why? Because it betrays a lack of trust in God. This is the kind of fear that is unhealthy. And as we meditate upon this command, this two-part command, to be strong and of good courage and to not fear, I think the latter part of that, to not fear, is the harder command. Be strong and courageous is difficult enough, but do not fear. I know myself, I've realized more recently that I am a fearful person, especially in my flesh. Never thought of myself as a fearful person. But if I allow the Holy Spirit to illuminate and think honestly, what about fear of messing up as a husband? Fear of messing up as a father. I have 4 young children, and boy, I want to do this right. Fear of upsetting my wife. Fear of saying the wrong thing. Fear of mismanaging my time. Fear of rejection when doing evangelism. If I'm sharing the gospel, testifying of Jesus. Fear. Fear of losing my job. Fear of making the wrong decision. Fear of persecution. Fear of not having enough money. Fear of the future. Fear of conflict. You can fill in the blank. How much of our behavior is driven by fear? How much of what we do and how we think is driven by a fear of that decision, or if I make the wrong one, or how it will work out? It has ripple effects across every aspect of our lives. And in the face of all the enemies before the 12 tribes of Israel, God said, do not fear. The New Testament also says to not fear. There's 2 scriptures I'd like to highlight here for us. The first is in Luke 12, 4 through 7. Luke 12, 4 through 7. And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after he has killed has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 copper coins? And not one of them is forgotten by God. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. You are of more value. Do not fear. Philippians 1, 27 through 28. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. And not in any way terrified of your adversaries. Do not be afraid. Do not fear. So I could say, Jesus, Paul, Moses, the Bible tells me to not be afraid, but I have a problem. How can I do that? How can I not be afraid? How can I not fear? It's like saying, well, just do better. Well, thank you. I don't know how to do better. How am I supposed to just not be afraid? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Okay, next time you're afraid, just do this. Just think, don't be afraid. Just think, no, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. That doesn't fix anything. If we just stopped there with the command to be strong and courageous and do not fear, we would go and just into helplessness and frustration. We would not be able to change our behavior. We would not be able to change our thinking. I have a problem. We have a problem if we were just going to stop right there. And this is where the second half of our verse comes in. I'd like to do a little illustration here with a couple of volunteers. Is that okay? Can I pick a couple of volunteers? All right. I met you guys earlier, so I'm just make sure I get the names right. Thane, right? Can I pick on you?
Sure.
All right, come on up, Thane. And then your brother Tanner. Can I pick on you too?
We don't remember names.
Can I pick on you, buddy? All right, let's give these guys a hand. All right, you guys come stand right over here, right in front of me. Right here, yeah. So you stand up here, Tanner. And then Thane, you stand right over here. Perfect. Okay, so good job, guys. All right, so I know you guys love each other. You're brothers, right? You know, you never argue. You never fight. You're just buddies all the way, right? Let's just pretend for the illustration that you're the bad guy, okay? All right? Now, you guys might have noticed there's a little bit of a height difference and a size difference between Tanner and Thane. All right, and let's just pretend that Thane is bent upon punching you and just beating you up. Okay? All right? Try to use your imagination, okay? Try to use your imagination hard. All right, so let me tell you something. Don't be afraid of him, okay? You know, don't be afraid. I know he's bigger than you, he's stronger than you, he has more experience in fighting than you, but don't be afraid of him, okay?
Okay.
All right. How are you doing right now? Are you afraid of him? No?
He's not
going to
punch
you. But let's pretend that he will, though, okay? Let's pretend that he's been doing boxing and... Let's pretend that he has been doing boxing and he is like mixed martial arts guru guy, right? And he's just going to take you down. That's his mission. Okay? All right? So. All right, so put yourself in Tanner's shoes right here, right? I'm saying, don't be afraid. Fear not. Fear not. He's like, "Okay. Okay." Okay, like, that's us if we're just left with the command to do not fear. Now I'm going to pick on a couple of other people. Maybe Sam, Brady, and let's see. You guys come on up. Kevin, why don't you come up too? All right, and you guys stand right here. All right, so now these... Now, let's say that these gentlemen are also the best fighters in the whole world, and they are dead set on taking care of you. Okay? Yeah? All right. You know? So, now, what happens to you when I say, now do not be afraid? Exactly, that's right. All right, good job, here we guys. Well done. Do you see how the situation changes when the environment changes, right? Look down in our text here, 31:6. Deuteronomy 31:6. Listen to what he says. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. What's the difference? The difference is the promise. The difference is the promise, which I believe is one of the most precious promises, if not the precious promise of all the scriptures. The Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Just think of the myriad of promises that God could have made, the multitude of blessings that he could have given. He could have given success. He could have promised success. Don't be afraid because you're going to succeed. Don't be afraid because you've been training and your training is sufficient. Don't be afraid. Be strong and courageous because I'm going to give you the best battle strategies. I'm going to give you some favor. I'm going to give you some angels. How about that? That'd be cool, right? Don't be afraid because I'm going to give you some angels. We'd probably be happy with that. But all of that falls short of what he does promise them. He says, I will go with you. The Almighty God himself was about to march into that promised land. You see, what good are giants and Jerichos against the Lord God, the maker of heaven and earth? There is no higher authority. There is no higher power. Nothing is too hard for the Lord, and he counts all the nations as but a drop in the bucket. Do not fear. Matthew 28:18-20. This is the Great Commission. We're very familiar. Most of us are very familiar with this passage. But I think this is what Jesus is, this promise in Deuteronomy is what Jesus is hearkening back to when he gives his final commission to his disciples. Matthew 28, beginning in verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The writer of Hebrews also quotes this promise. Hebrews 13:5-6. He says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. Oh, to meditate upon this precious promise, God with us, Emmanuel. If you are a Christian, if you've given your life to Jesus, that means that God has made his dwelling within you. You realize that? By his Holy Spirit. And there are times when we feel his sweet influences upon us more than other times. But that does not mean that God has left or that he comes and goes. The promise holds true that he abides with you. And it's because of that reality that we can be strong, that we can be courageous, that we do not have to fear. Because why fear when the maker of heaven and earth is with you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. So we'll conclude with a couple of applications here, a couple of questions and examining some ways that we can apply this. How can we be strong and of good courage practically? It's one thing just to say, yes, I'm going to be strong and good courage, but what does that mean for my life today? Well, here's a few suggestions that I've sought to apply in my life. One is to not back down from the truth in our culture. There are things that I believe, that you believe, that the Word of God says that are true 100%, and yet I can be afraid to say that they're true. Things like Jesus is Lord, or that we need a Savior. We're sinners in need of a Savior. That's countercultural. There are only two genders, etc. You can keep going on and on. These are things that it takes courage to say. Another way is by going after God's territory. This is what the Israelites were doing. The land of Canaan, God had promised it belonged to them, and so he said to go take it. And so what are those areas that we're supposed to take as God's children? How about your life? This temple is supposed to be a temple. This body is supposed to be a temple of the Holy Spirit. It is to be holy. It is his territory. What if we were to be strong and of good courage in our fight against sin? This world belongs to the Lord. It says then in Revelation that there's going to be representatives before the throne of every tribe and tongue and nation. What if we said, this world belongs to Christ, and I'm going to evangelize, and I'm going to preach the gospel, and I'm going to share in whatever context that I'm in, I'm going to share the truth of God's word. Maybe it's not going to be standing on a soapbox preaching, but maybe it's in those relationships with family or with friends. What about going after God's kingdom in your family? Marriage is hard. Raising kids is hard. Family worship is hard. Investing in your kids is a drain. All of these things, the temptation is just to roll over and just to give up. What if we took this call and say, no, be strong and of good courage. Go after it. What if we were be strong and good courage in prayer? Ephesians 6 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Sounds like a lot of good, all strong words there. What if we were to go after that? What does it mean to be strong in the Lord's strength and not our own? Sometimes this can trip us up. I want to be strong and serve the Lord, but I don't want to do it in my own strength. I want to depend upon the Lord, but now I don't know if I'm doing my own strength or the Lord. And I've been caught in that spot before. I don't know if you have. We tend to make this more complicated than it needs to be. We work hard. We exert all that we are. We obey the command to be strong and courageous. We exercise ourselves towards godliness. We put on the whole armor of God that we might stand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, we mortify sin with vigor. And we do all of this with a firm confidence in two things. One is that we can't do it ourselves, not even close, any more than the Israelites could take over Canaan by themselves. And that God has promised to go before us and to supply us the victory. Then lastly, how can we grow in fearlessness? I think we need to learn to recognize sinful fears. It's helpful to peg them, to identify them. Lord, I realize that I am afraid of this conversation I need to have. Lord, I realize that I'm afraid of making the wrong decision here. And that's actually not how you want a child of God to walk. I'm actually afraid of losing my job. Or I'm afraid, you fill in the blank, identify it. Face them head on. Meditate on the truth of God's word. Just like in our passage, he gives the command, and then he says, for the Lord goes with you. With every command of the Lord, there is also a reason and a truth that empowers that. Get a hold of one or more promises of God, like he will never leave you nor forsake you. If you get a hold of that, that changes everything. And then make decisions based on faith and not fear. Should I, if you're in this decision making, right? Should I take this job or that job? Should I have this conversation now or should I delay it? All these myriad of decisions that we make, all these different fears that we can have, I encourage you to make them with faith and not fear. Say, Lord, I know that your promise is true. You will never leave me nor forsake me. I know that you are with me by your Spirit. I know the truth of Romans 8, that all things work together for my good. I know that you are in control. I know that I can't mess you up. How could I mess up the maker of heaven and earth? And so I'm going to make a decision. Walk into that difficult situation, whatever the case may be, and I'm going to do that by faith, trusting you and not by fear, and leave the results up to him. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you would enable us by your grace to be those who are strong and of good courage. The strong and courageous, those who are not afraid, not fearless because we have some bravado, not fearless because we feel like we have a lot of strength and we have big muscles spiritually. No, Lord, we might be as weak in the world's eyes as we could be. And yet, Lord, I pray that you would enable us to have a firm reliance upon the strength of Almighty God. Lord, that does not mean that we won't have trouble or difficulty or trials, but Lord, it does mean that through those trials and difficulties that you will preserve us, that you will walk through those with us, that you will strengthen our hearts, Lord. I pray that that there would be greater courage and strength in my own life and the lives of everyone here, Lord, a greater fearlessness, and Lord, most importantly, a greater understanding and awareness, Lord, of that precious promise of Emmanuel, God with us. We thank you for your Spirit, and we thank you that your promise is true and never changes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.